I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Wednesday, August 25th. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch says he may appeal the results of the 2020 federal census. Koch says he believes Quincy's population is around 106,000 people, and not the almost 102,000 that last year's census counted. Koch says he's reviewing the numbers with City Clerk Nicole Crispo and says if there's a large enough discrepancy, he will appeal. The new City of Quincy Welcome Center is now open. Mayor Thomas Koch cut the ribbon on the new center in the Monroe Building in Quincy Center yesterday. The center is located in the former Grand Asia Dress Shop and provides visitors information about Quincy's historic attractions, as well as places to stay, dine, and shop. The city also launched its new President's Trail tour of historic sites around the city. Today is the last day to register to vote in the September 14th preliminary election in Quincy. The city clerk's office will be open until 8 o'clock tonight to allow people to register. The preliminary election will narrow the field of candidates for three school committee seats down from 7 candidates to 6. Incumbents Emily Lebo, Doug Guttrow, and Courtney Perdios are seeking re-election. Liz Speakman, Ellen Patterson O'Donnell, Liberty Schaff, Tina Cahill are also running. Today, the last day to submit the names of people to be remembered during the City of Quincy's annual candlelight vigil to remember those who have died of an overdose and substance use disorder. The 11th annual vigil is set for August 31st at 7 p.m. on the Hancock Adams Common or in Quincy High School if it rains. Submissions of names and photos may be sent to Laura Martin in the mayor's office by emailing lmartin@quincyma.gov. The Quincy Symphony Orchestra and the Quincy Choral Society will perform together during a live concert next month. The Free Pops concert is scheduled for Saturday, September 18th at 5 p.m. on the Hancock Adams Common in Quincy Center. Cabaret tables and chairs, along with traditional rows of theater seats, will be provided, and lawn chairs will be allowed. The Hive Mobile Bar will provide beer and wine, but you're asked not to bring your own libations. The Massachusetts Education Commissioner is expected to formally issue a statewide mask mandate for all public K-12 students and staff today. Education Commissioner Jeffrey Riley was given the power to do so less than 24 hours ago when the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education voted yesterday to give the state's Education Commissioner the authority to mandate masks for all public students and staff in grades K through 12. Riley has pushed for a mandate to be put in place through October 1st to ensure schools fully reopen safely and to provide time for more students and educators to get vaccinated. The board voted 9-1 to allow the commissioner to put forth that mandate. Board member Paymon Ruinfard, who voted no, said the proposal was bad public policy. Prior to the meeting, a group of protesters gathered outside the headquarters in Malden to express their opposition to the proposal. Many argued that kids do not need masks and that parents should be allowed to make decisions for their children. After October 1st, middle and high schools would be allowed to lift the mask mandate for vaccinated students and staff only if the school meets a certain vaccination rate. At least 80% of students and staff in a school building need to be vaccinated. Unvaccinated students and staff will still be required to wear masks. The mask mandate will only apply indoors and to children 5 and older, and there would be exceptions for students who can't wear a mask due to medical conditions or behavioral needs. Last month, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education released guidelines on masking, COVID-19 testing, and quarantine protocols for the new school year. DESE also urged all schools, and in particular those with vaccination rates below the Massachusetts state average, to host an on-site vaccination clinic during summer orientation events or when classes begin. CVS will be requiring some employees to get the COVID vaccine. The Rhode Island-based pharmacy chain announced that all corporate employees and patient-facing workers like nurses must be fully vaccinated by October 31st. Pharmacists working in the company's retail stores have until November 30th. The company says other roles could be included in the mandate at a later time. CVS said it has given out more than 30 million COVID vaccines to Americans and is fully prepared to play a leading role in providing booster shots. Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton was one of two House of Representatives members who flew unannounced into Kabul Airport in the middle of the ongoing chaotic evacuation yesterday, stunning State Department and U.S. military personnel who had to divert resources to provide security and information to the lawmakers. Moulton and Congressman Peter Major from Michigan flew in and out on charter aircraft and were on the ground at the Kabul airport for several hours. That led officials to complain they could be taking the seats that would have otherwise gone to other Americans or Afghans fleeing the country. But the congressmen said in a joint statement they made sure to leave on a flight with empty seats. Moulton served in the Marine Corps in Iraq. Major, an Army veteran, served in Iraq and later did humanitarian aid-related work with a non-governmental organization in Afghanistan, helping to deliver emergency assistance to aid workers after kidnappings and targeted killings. Two officials familiar with the flight said the State Department, Department of Defense, and White House were furious about the incident because it was done without coordination with diplomats or military commanders directing the evacuation. The U.S. military found out about the visit as the legislator's aircraft was inbound to Kabul. One senior U.S. official said the administration saw the lawmakers' visit as manifestly unhelpful, and other officials said the visit was viewed as a distraction for troops and commanders at the airport who are waging a race against time to evacuate thousands of Americans, at-risk Afghans, and others as quickly as possible. State police are warning residents about scammers spoofing state police phone numbers. The department tweeted about those calls yesterday, warning residents that they are fraudulent. A Massachusetts State Police spokesperson said police realized there was something going on when they started receiving calls from people who said they were returning a call from this number. In March, Business Insider reported that robocalls and spam calls were on the rise again after falling during the height of the pandemic. To stop receiving the calls, the FCC recommends people register their number on the National Do Not Call list and seek support from their phone service providers. Police advised anyone who receives a call to never provide personal or financial information over the phone. Attleboro-based Willow Tree Poultry Farm is recalling more than 50,000 pounds of chicken salad and dips because there could be plastic particles in the food, according to the U.S. Department of Food Safety. The product bears establishment number P8827 inside the USDA mark of inspection. The recalled products have been shipped to retail and wholesale locations across New England, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. There have been no reports of anyone being hurt. Consumers who purchase the products are urged not to consume them. They should be thrown away or returned to the place of purchase. A Watertown father and his sons are accused of scamming the state lottery and filing false tax returns. 62-year-old Ali Jafar, 28-year-old Yusef Jafar, and Mohammad Jafar allegedly collectively claimed almost $21 million by cashing more than 13,000 lottery tickets between 2011 and 2019. According to the Department of Justice, the scheme is called 10%ing. The Jafars allegedly conspired with actual lottery winners to buy the winnings at a discount between 10 to 20% of the ticket's worth, allowing the actual winner to avoid reporting their winnings on tax returns. The Jafars then presented the winnings as their own and reported them on their income tax returns to improperly offset the claimed winnings with purported gambling losses. thereby avoiding federal income taxes. In 2019, Ali Jafar was the top individual lottery ticket casher for Massachusetts. Mohammed Jafar was the third highest individual ticket casher, and Yusuf Jafar was the fourth highest individual ticket casher. All three men now face one count of conspiracy to commit money laundering and multiple counts of filing false tax returns. One Massachusetts resident missed their chance to win a valuable Vax Millions prize by failing to respond before a deadline to the state sweepstakes that sought to promote COVID-19 vaccinations. Five Vax Millions giveaway drawings were held on consecutive Mondays from July 26 through August 23rd. The sweepstakes was open to residents who were vaccinated in Massachusetts, and state officials say about 2.5 million people registered for at least one drawing. Of those, 2.35 million entrants were adults who were eligible to win $1 million. The remainder were between the ages of 12 and 17 who were eligible for the $300,000 college scholarship grant. Potential winners had 24 hours to respond after their name was drawn. Officials said one person missed that deadline and the prize was given to the next person whose name was drawn. Officials didn't say which winner got extra lucky. State officials are expected to announce the winners of the final round tomorrow. Since the Vax Millions giveaway was announced, state officials say more than 440,000 people have become fully vaccinated. Check of business news and stocks gain ground. The Dow was up 30 points, the NASDAQ rose 77, and the S&P added 6. Asian stocks were mixed. The dollar rose, the euro was down, oil at $67 a barrel. Sports. Red Sox beat the Twins 11-9. Play again at Fenway tonight at 7:10. The National Weather Service forecast for today, mostly sunny, hot, and humid, high 91 degrees. Tonight, hazy, low 70. Tomorrow, very hot and humid, high 93 degrees. Still pretty warm on Friday, hazy sunshine, high of 88. Cooling off on Saturday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-70s. For the boater, waves about a foot. Light west wind becomes southeast later today, high tide just after 2 p.m. Sun rose at 6:02. Sets at 7:28. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Wednesday, August 25th.